Good morning, folks. Good morning. It is very nice to see you. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
It's lovely to see you. Truth be told, it's lovely to hear you as well. There's always a nice noise when we come together for Connect. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing to meet together. It's a good thing to talk together. This morning, there are one or two notices to give you. Let's have a quick look. This coming week, our organizations are back on track from toddlers to Boys Brigade. We've got Crafters and Anchor Boys. On Wednesday at 2 p.m., there's a ladies' friendship group who are meeting. There's also Pilates and a Zoom prayer meeting, 7 p.m. on Thursday. I'd like to let you know that this coming Saturday at 11:30 a.m., there will be a funeral for a Mr. Brian McDowell. So the funeral of Brian McDowell will be this coming Saturday at 11:30 a.m. There are one or two members of our congregation who enjoy reading the magazine, the church magazine, but find it difficult to see, if not sometimes impossible to see. If there's any volunteers who would think they would be able to record, not the whole thing, but extracts from our church magazine so that we can have an audio version online, would you please let us know? The only tools you would need would be a magazine in hand and your mobile phone. That would be all you needed. So I'm just going to let you have a think about that. Next Sunday, we have a treat. Our morning service, morning prayer, is going to be broadcast by Radio Ulster. And so that will be a treat for the nation. We will have to make some adjustments, though. So our communion service will be at 8:30 in the morning and not 9 o'clock. So Holy Communion at 8:30. Our morning prayer service will not be at 11 o'clock. It will be at 10 a.m. And we're asking folks to be seated at 9:40 a.m. in good time for that. So we're ready, settled, and quiet for the broadcast to begin. Because it will be a longer morning and it just will be a wee bit different, we're not having Sunday school. It's a long time for people to be expected to be seated quietly. And so that people are asking people to arrive and be seated by 9:40. It will be broadcast on Radio Ulster. 7 p.m., our evening prayer will be business as usual. Now, I'm going to let you know, when the rector told me that we were having our service broadcast, he was so kind to me. He said, "Andy, I want you to make sure you're taking part." He said, "You've got such a good face for radio." isn't it lovely when people say such nice things to you? So that's next week. Let's begin our time of worship together by praying together. And we'll pray together words which will appear on the screen. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this new year and the opportunity to gather together in worship and praise. We ask that you would bless our time together today and that each person would be open to hearing your word and a readiness to give your commitment to you as disciples of the Master and subjects of a true King. Let's stand and sing together, Joy to the World.
Thank you.
Please take your seats. We come to that time in our service where we quieten our hearts and we think about our relationship with God, and we confess that there are times that we have not done everything that He would want us to do for Him or for one another. So let's bring ourselves to God in confession as we pray together the words on the screen. God of everlasting love, God of everlasting love, we confess that we have been unfaithful to our covenant with You and with one another. We have worshipped other gods, money, power, greed, and convenience. We have served our own self-interest instead of serving only You and Your people. We have not loved our neighbor as You have commanded, nor have we rightly loved ourselves. Forgive us, gracious God, and bring us back into the fullness of our covenant with You and one another, through Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to stand and sing together, From Heaven You Came. And during this song, I'll invite children and Sunday school leaders to make their way up to the hall. Please stand.
And turn our world to Your glory.
Please take your seats. Our reading today is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 15, and starting at verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, You have given me no offspring, so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look towards heaven and count the stars, if you're able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to Abraham, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? God said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He brought him all these things and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrible darkness descended upon him. Then the Lord said to Abraham, Know this for certain, that your offspring shall be aliens in a land that is not theirs, and they shall be slaves there, and they shall be oppressed for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nations that they serve, and afterwards they shall come out with great possessions. As for yourself, you shall go to the place of your ancestors in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. And they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking firepot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, To your descendants I give you this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites and the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, and the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's stand and sing together. What a beautiful name it is. as we stand together, let's declare our faith using the words of the Creed. We say together, we believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us. Amen. Please take your seats. And as we sit, we're going to sing together, God with us.
Over.
During the last few months in Connect, we have been looking at the theme of the kingdom of God, but we've been using some particular words to help us. We've looked at the headings of obedience and preparation. And this morning, we bring in the new year with the heading of commitment. January is always the month of new commitments. Resolutions and commitments have always been big business, and it gets a lot of money and there's a lot of commerce around the idea of January commitments. The Independent newspaper estimates that the diet and health industry alone in the UK is worth to be about £2 billion. So this idea of making new commitments, it is universal. This year, I have resolved to eat more biscuits. And I have resolved to tell the same joke as I think I told exactly this time last year. So I do apologize. What's the biggest resolution or commitment that you have ever made? I would say for me, and I would say for a lot, the wedding vows and the wedding commitments would have been the greatest commitment that we've ever made out loud. A curate friend of mine had a wedding a few months ago, and he said it was one of the strangest experiences he'd ever had. He was standing there conducting the wedding ceremony, and he had the bridegroom on this side. He had the bridegroom on this side, and he had the bride on this side. And he turned to the bridegroom first, and he said, "Will you take Jane Smith to be your wife? Will you love her and comfort her, honor and care for her, and forsaking all others, be faithful to her as long as you shall live?" And he said, "I will." And then he turned to the bride and he said, "Would you take John Doe to be your husband? Will you love him, comfort him, honor and care for him, and forsaking all others, be faithful to him as long as you both shall live?" And she said, "Can I ask a question?" And the curate said, "Make it quick. You can." And she said, "Are they filming another series of The Fall in Belfast anytime soon?" And he said, "I don't know. Why on earth is this relevant?" And she said, "Well, you know The Fall with Jamie Dornan and Gillian Anderson. What I really want to know is Jamie Dornan going to be in Belfast anytime soon?" And he said, "Again, I don't know." She said, "I always thought that if I was to bump into him in the street, I would ask him for a cup of coffee. And we would have a cup of coffee and just see where the relationship took us. Can we maybe work this into the vows somehow?" And my curate friend said, "No, absolutely not. We can't do that. This is just completely inappropriate. Why don't you go and take 5 minutes to have a wee think?" So she went off to have a wee think, and the bridegroom, he was about to say, "I'm so sorry." And he said, "Did she say Gillian Anderson? You mean the one that used to be in the X-Files?" So they all decided to take the morning off. And my curate friend was absolutely right. Commitment, the kind of commitment that you state and make openly during a wedding, it's not really a 99% kind of commitment. If you make a 99% commitment, well, that means approximately one every 100 days, whoever you're with is going to be uneasy, at the very least, about what it is you're doing. Commitment is not something to take lightly. And Abraham, in our reading, our very strange and old reading we had this morning, he made a commitment with God, and God made a commitment to him. And in the Bible, the word covenant is used to mean very much the same thing that we're talking about when we say commitment. And in that period, when Abraham was walking around, it was quite common for families, tribes, and nations to make covenant agreements with one another. Sometimes a smaller nation would make a covenant agreement with a larger nation, offering goods in return for protection. The terms of the covenant would be agreed, and then blood would be spilled. God said to Abraham, though you are currently childless, you're going to have descendants. You're going to have descendants as countless as the stars, and I'm going to give them a land of their own. And Abraham said, how do I know this is going to be true? And God said, bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old. Bring me a pigeon and a turtle dove. And Abraham brought all these things to him, and he cut them in two and arranged them on the ground. The birds he didn't cut in two. They're just dead on the ground over there. And the tradition here is that the two parties making an agreement would, once the terms had been agreed, would split the animals, and then they would walk between the cut and very messy parts. And the understanding is that if I break my part of the agreement, may the same thing happen to me as is happening to these animals. If you break your part of the agreement, may you go the way of these animals. So it was a very, very solemn affair. An agreement was made and blood was spilled. And that's part of the reason why we talk about our relationship with Jesus as a new covenant. There's nothing really 99% about it. It's a very, very serious and somber thing that was happening between Abraham and God. So the covenant is agreed between God and Abraham. Abraham. It was before his name had changed. So the covenant is made between God and Abraham. And God said, I will give you descendants. I will give you a new land. And we come to that moment where the two parties are to pass between the parts, the body parts on the ground. Then a very strange thing happened. As the sun was setting, Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking firepot and a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. God makes the agreement with Abraham and then kind of for a moment takes him out of the equation. And that solemn covenant is made, the commitment is made between Abraham, humanity, and God. And God is almost doing that traveling for himself and for humans and for Abraham as he passed through while he was in a deep sleep. Abraham, you see, while he believed God, while he believed that God was going to carry out his promises, he wasn't yet mature enough to understand in full what was happening, although God was committed to him. And it wasn't going to be for some time until Abraham as an individual and his family twigged as to what this commitment actually meant. A covenant relationship with God is a huge thing. And quite frankly, it is beyond us, it's fair to say. And yet, it is offered to us. And it makes demands on what we believe. It makes demands on what we say. It makes demands on what we do. It makes demands on how we order our very existence. And blood was spilled in making the covenant and promise that God has made to us, the blood of Jesus himself. And that covenant has been offered to us in Jesus' name. And by the action of the Holy Spirit, we're given the opportunity, like Abraham, to grow and to mature. And as the covenant has been made with us, God has made promises to us to love us, to hold us, to never let us go. And then God comes round in the form of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit comes round, and he is with us, presenting us back to God as we grow and as we are held and as we are never let go. God acts on his side of the agreement, and thank God he acts on our side of the agreement. However, our intentions, it's still something that he doesn't ask for 99% on. He asks for 100% of our intentions. He knows we're going to get it wrong. He knows we're going to get it wrong in things before we even make it home today. Maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but there you go. But our intention and our offering of what we have, he asks for 100%. There's the most fantastic song called Shallow that a lot of you will probably know. It was sung by Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, and it's featured in the movie remake, A Star is Born. Now, I don't know if you know Lady Gaga, but when she started out a few years ago, she had the most outrageous costumes and makeup. You almost couldn't make her out past all the get-up that she had on. And I confess, I didn't have necessarily generous thoughts towards her. But I suppose this is my public apology to Lady Gaga, because, boy, she can sing. So there we go. Sometimes first appearances are absolutely wrong. But she and Bradley Cooper sang this song called Shallow. And in it, the singers long for something more than just paddling around in the shallows of the shore. They want for something more. They want for something that's not necessarily safe. It's more committed. It's more out there. They want to leave the shallows of the shore behind and relish the risk of what it is to go deeper. And it's not a million miles from St. Peter being on the boat and seeing Jesus walking on the water and shouting, "Me too, I want some of that," even though it must have looked absolutely unsafe. The call of commitment to Jesus is all-encompassing, all-changing, and it is the opposite of safe. But there's a reason why people who are committed to Jesus are joyful, because there's something that you can't possibly describe in it, that knowledge that one is loved and safe, and one will always be loved and safe as they are called to do things that can cause risk. I want to read you a prayer that is taken from our brothers and sisters in the Methodist Church. Around this time of year, every year in the Methodist Church, they will have a covenant service. And this prayer that's going to come up on the screen is part of that service. I'm going to read the words to you, and I'm probably going to suggest you don't pray them just now as a prayer until you've read the whole things through. It's often good to know what one is getting yourself into beforehand. So the prayer is this: Heavenly Father, I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. There's very little that can be added to the words of such a prayer. So what I'm going to suggest is that we have a time of quiet, and then we stay seated as we sing our next song. And then after our next song, we're going to have a time of prayer. And the time of prayer will begin with that prayer. I will read it aloud. And if it's something that you are ready for yourself, pray it yourself. And it doesn't have to be out loud. If it's something that you want to take home and have a think about before, that's not a bad thing. But these are the words that we'll take from the Methodist Church to help us articulate what it is to give ourselves into God's hands. We'll have a time of quiet, and then we'll have our seated song. Let's stay seated together as we sing In the Bleak Midwinter. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I am no longer my own but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Be exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Almighty and ever-living God, we ask you to hear the prayers which we offer in faith. For the peace that comes from God alone, for the unity of all peoples and for our salvation, we pray to you, Lord, have mercy. We pray for the Church of Christ, for our Bishop David, for our Rector Jonathan, for their families, and we pray for the whole people of God. Lord, have mercy. We pray for the nations of the world. We pray for the people of Israel and Gaza. We pray for the people of Ukraine and Russia. We pray for all who are at risk from flood or fire. Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
We pray for this city of Belfast, for this parish that we serve in. We pray for our neighbors and our friends. Lord, have mercy. For the good earth which God has given us, and for the wisdom and our will to conserve it, we pray to you, Heavenly Father. Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
And we pray for the aged and the infirm, for those widows, widowed and orphaned. We pray for the sick and the suffering. We pray for those who are awaiting news from medical tests. And we pray for those who care for those who are sick. And would you be close to the McDowell family as they prepare for their funeral on Saturday. Lord, have mercy. Rejoicing in the communion of all the saints, we commend ourselves and we commend one another into your service, Heavenly Father. And in faith, we pray those words that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's stand and sing together, Holy Overshadowing.
Of mercy over me.
Please take your seats. As we come to the close of our service, we pray together in preparation for going out into the world. We go into the world. We go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. Be with us, Lord, as we go out into the world. May the lips that have sung your praise always speak the truth. May the ears which have heard your word listen only to what is good. And may our lives, as well as our worship, be always blessing in your sight. For the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The God of hope, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who is one, make us all who are so different into one body of love. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you all and those whom you love, now and forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is going to be O Little Town of Bethlehem. The version is going to be different from the one that we usually sing. It's a Cliff Richard arrangement. It's a Cliff Richard arrangement. We stand and sing together, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen. Amen.